Yeah, good afternoon, Matt. Look, I think it's important to understand a little bit of the background leading into this case. The early work was spent establishing the veracity of the case and the actual categories of loss and the strength of the case. So a legal process known as a neutral evaluation was undertaken by a retired High Court judge, a highly respected member by the name of Giles, and he established considering the full evidence of the case, he established that the case has meaningful prospects of success. So, in a legal sense, that's rather strong language. So, most of the attention will be focused around the second control order. So, if you remember back to...
And what does that mean for those who don't have a real legal hat on?
Okay, so the first decision the government made in restricting the flow, isolating and restricting the flow of cattle to the processing facilities in Indonesia that were identified in the Four Corners report was the responsible and appropriate decision to make, and a decision that has full support of industry and producers. And during that time, from then until the second order, which actually banned the whole of trade to Indonesia, was made without any further evidence or information coming to light potentially to establish that the animal welfare abuse was widespread or was occurring in other processing facilities. So in the absence of that information, they still proceeded. And despite advice from their own department to the contrary, that they should not make this decision, and also being fully informed of the impact this decision would have on the north of Australia and industries up here. So despite all of that, the decision was made to ban the trade to the entire market.
Now, governments make decisions all the time that affect people and businesses. Mm-hmm. Why is this case different and worthy of a class action?
Look, I think it's the scale, the magnitude of the decision and the lack of consultation and negotiation with industry prior to the decision being made. So there's a range of reasons and of course the impacts which we've been living with up here now for the last 3 years and the flow-on effects from that. So,
right. Yeah. And I've heard that a lot this morning in the news, that this line that the industry is still struggling. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the cattle prices and mm-hmm. the current property market, it does seem pretty good. I mean, yeah. Is the industry really still struggling?
Look, there's a lot to be positive about, and we're certainly focused on a positive future for our industry, and we're looking forward to that. But I think what this case will do is address the need for people to have their case heard and give them the capacity to move on. And so if I can just backtrack a little bit.
But just on that question, you know, is the industry really still struggling right now?
Yes, there is. There is elements of the industry, and I guess that will become clear as the class action plays out. But there is still an existing legacy in people's businesses. And if I can talk about it in terms of equity, for example. So land values crashed, cash flows stopped. So equity ratios were all out of whack. And in some cases, we're hearing reports of negative equity situations. So when you've got that occurring in your business, there's pressure. Of course, the banks start to get anxious about this. So the actual asset that underpins your borrowing suddenly has lost its value, and your stock, your animals in the paddock suddenly have no value or a market. So,
yes.
So the fundamentals of business principles have applied here. So the increased cost of debt, the increased cost of interest, the increased cost of financing the business. So they're the areas where we're seeing a significant legacy remaining in the north.
To what extent has the Commonwealth's refusal to negotiate on this led to the class action?
Look, I don't think there is an industry in Australia that would want to take the Commonwealth government to court, and this is no exception. So, as I understand it, there has been a significant process undertaken to bring this matter to a resolution, and the neutral evaluation was part of that process. So, in normal circumstances, potentially that would have been enough to trigger discussions between parties. Unfortunately,
and it hasn't happened.
Unfortunately, that hasn't happened.
And would have. It sounds like the industry, the communication, the negotiation with the Labor government didn't go well. What about the current government? Yeah, is the current federal ag minister in there negotiating, or is it just as bad?
Look, the current ag minister is a very strong supporter of our industry, and we're certainly looking forward to working with the minister going forward, and we really acknowledge the work that's been done in the past. I'm really reluctant to be drawn into the politics behind this matter, other than to say, unfortunately, the case has now been filed and we have a current class action in place.
And how many people, how many businesses are you expecting to jump on board?
Yeah, that's difficult to answer at this stage. So there has been some work done with in excess of 20 businesses to establish the veracity of this case and categories of loss. So today is day one of this action being made public, and I'm assuming there's going to be a high volume of interest down the track.
There was, from memory, when the ban was on, there was something like $30 million made available straight away in concessional loans, I think. All the money wasn't taken up, suggesting that the issue wasn't as big as first thought.
Undersubscribed. So I think if you think back to what was occurring during that time, it's not surprising that that total amount wasn't taken up. And the reasons for that were that the total losses weren't fully understood then, and if you're thinking about it from a producer's perspective, it was total chaos. Their whole business structure and their world had been turned upside down, and no one really fully understood what was ahead. So I'm not surprised that
that
the initial amount wasn't taken up, because and producers are under normal circumstances would prefer not to go to the government for assistance, and I think that's an indication of that situation playing out there. But primarily it was because the full force of the impact of this ban hadn't been felt yet.
A question here from at Ban Live Export, which says, funny how graziers in industry accept the accolades of better animal welfare that resulted from the suspension to Indonesia, but not the action taken. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, look, it is a fair comment. And I think it's really important to understand that work on improving animal welfare outcomes didn't just begin after that Four Corners report aired in May.
Do you think we'd be at this stage in Indonesia if that suspension had never occurred?
Well, look, granted, once those images became known that practices like that were occurring, there was a sense of urgency, and the SCAS system that we have in place now is highly regarded by producers. It provides a mechanism for supply chain assurance, if you like, and a level of comfort that the welfare of their animals is being tracked and observed right through from birth right to the point of processing. So the strength in the system, look, it's not a perfect world that we're operating in, and there are animals and there are human beings involved. So from time to time there will be breaches, but the strength of the SCAS system is that these breaches, there is a mechanism for identifying them, isolating them and managing them.
Tracy Hayes, thanks for your time today on the Country Hour on what I'm sure is a busy day.
Thanks, Matt.
Tracy Hayes, the Chief Executive of the NT Cattlemen's Association, hearing from the Shadow Minister for Agriculture at a federal level, Joel Fitzgibbon, next.
On life, on land, and on Facebook, the Northern Territory Country Hour with Matt Brand.